Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Tuesday night call. It's great to be with you. I don't think Chase is going to be with us tonight. Chase and Dale just drove straight through from San Antonio, Texas, from the International Alcoholics Anonymous Convention, where we had our booths and sharing the new program, newlifesupport.com. And they got home, and we stuck Chase and Dale in bed and told them we didn't want to see them till tomorrow morning. Big thank you to them for the hard work in getting that booth and all the product down there, then bringing it back to us here in Utah safely. Also, a big thank you to all of the coaches who joined us down in San Antonio. I know many of you are having the opportunity to work with these coaches. I just want to tell you just a couple of things. We went down there with all kinds of excitement and hope. 75,000 people were going to be present, and were. And we got news as we're getting ready to go down. There's a hurricane on its way to southern Texas. We didn't even know what to expect. They got the booth up, and then it started raining, and the booth was outside. We came prepared with what are called chili necks. You soak them in water, and they swell up. You put them around your neck to stay nice and cool. And we just had lots of fun rain for 3 or 4 days. And then finally, it got a little sunny on Saturday and on Sunday again, and we met some wonderful people. But I'll tell you, it's very interesting when you are faced with a situation different than you anticipate. It turned out that our booth was not where we thought it was. It was in a dead corner of the exhibit area. That was very interesting, and we could not change that. It rained. We could not change that. So we focused on the 3 or 4 things for which we had absolute control, starting with our attitude, how we showed up in the service of those who did come to our booth, what we could do to drive more people to the booth, what we could do in terms of our pricing and giveaways and whatever it took to be able to talk to people. And I watched these coaches do something that just, I didn't do it when I was there, but I did it at night lying in bed, and the few hours we got at sleep each night, I just found myself spontaneously weeping. I don't mind telling you that, just in deep gratitude for the character of these individuals showing up the way they did under these circumstances, making tremendous sacrifices. Our coaches flew down there on their own dime. We had a hotel room for them, and they helped pay for it. We fed them at night, and we fed them at lunch, and they had a continental breakfast at the hotel, but they were there on their own dime to serve people. And did they ever serve? It was something special to withhold, to behold. It's just a constant reminder to me that there are going to be many times in our life when things do not show up the way we hoped they would. And hope can sometimes be expectations. I know that for several months we planned diligently to get coins from China and chili necks made and filled and sewed up and products ordered and brochures designed and banners designed and all kinds of stuff. This was just an amazing display of Ogmandino. And we faced circumstances different than we anticipated. And to watch people show up, they were absolute examples of the principles that we're talking about. It was just such an honor to be with them and watch that occur. I don't know if anybody's on the phone tonight facing a circumstance in their life where something's happening that's frustrating. I've got a dear friend who lost his job last Tuesday. The last one to go, I mean, just an amazing talent. He's had to let go so many people, and all of a sudden the company just ran out of funds, and he lost his job. And to watch how he's handling it. If you're facing something difficult today, and it's causing you to be introspective, may I share with you just a couple of things before we jump into our topic tonight? Be very careful if you're tired not to make any hard decisions. If you're tired, get some rest. Just get some rest. Stop, take a deep breath if you have to do it for a day or two, get some rest. Two, Make a list of the things that, for which you can have some control. In other words, those things you can impact. Then make a list of those things you cannot impact. You cannot change what's happening in the stock market, for an example. Oh, you can try to take advantage of it, or buy short, buy long, you can do that, but you can't necessarily control what's going to happen. We can't control the weather, the outside weather, but we can control our own weather. And as we learn in Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl's masterpiece, the one thing that we can control that no one can take away from us is our attitude. We're going to face moments that are very discouraging. It's just part of life. I was working on the practicum for the website on sorrow and joy. And there are times when we will experience great sorrow. For those of you tonight who are experiencing something like that, I just want to pause with you for a moment, just be with you, and just let you know that I want to feel with you what you're feeling, and to encourage you and inspire you to stick to these principles of focusing on the needs of other people, stepping into their world. When we get discouraged, we can experience people fatigue, just get tired. I know I do. I just put this on Q&A mode, so if anyone would like to participate, just press star 6 and you'll come off of mute. Let's just be here for a moment together. Because we're in this life together. And when we get discouraged, that's the time when we reach deep. That's the time when we want to be able to be aware that catastrophizing, that fear, anxiety, will not create any result that's productive. It may take all that we have. I know that coming back from San Antonio, I expected a different result. We brought a couple $100,000 worth of product with us. We came back with $19,000 in sales, and we paid $5,000 of that out to a consultant. We netted $14,000. We took a serious loss as a company in terms of cash flow. Can't change that, but I can reflect on the 25 testimonials we got. I had a new resurgence of love for Ogmandino's material and how it touches people's lives. I had a young man about 25 sit in front of me and tell me at the age of 17 he read The Greatest Miracle and the God Memorandum changed his life. He became an alcohol abuse counselor with a youth recovery group that spends a lot of time out in the wilderness. He says, I just want you to know tonight, in Arizona, there are 20 people between the ages of 16 sitting around a campfire reading the God Memorandum and believing that it's cool. We cried together. 21-year-old girl, Emily, who at 18 hit the bottom, alcohol and drugs, illegal drugs, just absolutely cratered. She'd been homeless, disowned by her family, and in a recovery center, someone gave her a copy of The Greatest Miracle. She had nothing else to do, so she read it. She wept while she told me what it did to her life. Another gentleman said it not only greatest salesman in the world, saved his life, it helped him make $1 million, and he walked right through what he did in creation, following those principles to the T. And he said, you know, it's interesting, Dave, that was a few years ago, and I stopped living those principles, and I've been experiencing pain. I saw your booth, and it all came back. He came over and talked to us. Tommy. I remember Tommy because my dad's name was Thomas, and he got in fights with people who called him Tommy. Tommy was a powerful-looking guy, weightlifter, you know. And he's talking about going back now and taking exciting. But if you're in that space tonight, we all have those kinds of moments. Some of them are really, really painful. The ones I'm dealing with are just business issues. Some of you are dealing with relationship issues and children and crises that are just overwhelming. We have a friend whose son's getting ready to spend 7.5 years in prison because of his latest DUI. 7.5 years. Oh my goodness. So let us tonight, in the sobriety of our circumstances, the soberness, not only from avoiding substances, but being a sober, we'll have some fun tonight. We'll want to have fun. But let us perhaps look at these principles just a little differently so that we can apply them a little bit more thoroughly. Because we're about to go into an area that is perhaps the most difficult of all. As we start to step into people's worlds, we start to experience the joy of connection. For some, that can be foreign, but it can help us start to become increasingly comfortable with people. And I've reflected on this the last few days. How shy I am. How backward I can be. How uncomfortable I can be in a crowd. And how these principles need to be ever present in my mind of looking for what's important and verbalizing it, listening for doors and stepping into people's worlds. If I follow that pattern, I'm okay. I'm at peace. I'm experiencing the joy of connection. When for a moment I don't follow that, I slide into fear and doubt, self-deprecation. I know it's going to be a lifelong journey for me to repair the damage from my childhood. Things that can happen before you even are conscious enough to know. That just takes a while. But I'm so grateful for these principles and for knowing them so that I can find peace and joy in conversations, to be with people and love them, serve them, and watch them serve me. I watched that with coaches today, this weekend. They were so conscious of where we were, they just pitched in. They not only served the people, they were serving the Og Mandino company to protect it as well. Oh, it's just such an honor to be a part of that piece. Then as we're working through this sad moment to be in creation, just keep saying, I'm going to be in creation. I don't have time for despair or anger or frustration. It's not going to serve. Just go into creation. This morning we met with the office staff and we talked about what had transpired and where we were, and we made a list of priorities. And I have been on the top priority for the entire day until 30 minutes ago. It felt so good. So much got accomplished today. In spite of, if I'd have been in frustration and catastrophe, can you imagine? All of those things which were so important, hours of writing that needed to be done that only I could do, would not have been done. Don't miss in your own life things that only you can do because of angst or anger. And we use our mind constructively and in creation so that we can get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that will ignite our passion and take us to this most critical of all steps, the actual, tangible creation of our dreams. The rest of it's really nice, but nothing matters till we do this one. This third quality, completing tasks, becomes the most critical of all. Everything leads up to this moment. Now, after this, we'll talk about how we might be in rebellion and how sorrow can get in the way, and remuneration and recognition and finding gratitude and healing our self-esteem, all things that can help us. But we really focus right here. right where we are tonight. And I'm going to give you an exercise before the night's out that can help you be more effective in this place called the now, the here and now. You see, we want to be present in one of two places. Present in our mind, constructively thinking, or present in the now, constructively, physically creating. One or the other. That third place over there, that void where all the fear and anxiety and fantasy and catastrophe occur, that is a total waste of time. And any time we spend there, we are robbing ourselves and everyone else of our gifts. So when we come to this here and now, we face what almost everyone avoids in the discussion of success. It's just amazing. And it's avoided because there's only a word for it till now, and it's called work. And it's boring, and it's mundane, and it's repetitious. I heard today from Krista that a friend of her, their marriage was broken up over this principle. Now, they weren't studying this and broke up. They broke up before the husband learned these principles, but the breakup occurred because he wanted to get practical. And she wanted to stay in fantasy. She actually wanted him to believe that all their problems would be solved if they just visualized them long enough with enough intention, that the universe would give them the gift of abundance. Oh boy, what a sad tragedy. Not only do they lose their relationship, she's going to spend a lifetime in disappointment. I think some would rather spend their time bathed in norepinephrine, feeling euphoric, and not having tangible reality than paying the price to get it. Because they don't understand this one great principle. When we've done the first two qualities, we're focusing on people, and we're using our mind constructively, completing tasks is not work. It's passion-driven action. And there is a huge difference between those two. When we can see so clearly what needs to be created, and we dive in, we can work tirelessly. Because we're not focused on hours and hourly wages and simple tasks and to-do lists. We're focused on a result. We are creating something that we are excited about creating. We can be impatient. We can get a little frustrated. Oh, yeah. Frustrated with people, and it's not moving quite fast enough. But, oh, man, we can work tirelessly. And those who know how to do this forget to talk about this piece, because to them it's not work. It's just what they naturally do because of their vision. They have this inspired idea, impression, or solution to a problem, and it just drives them. End of book. So go visualize and see it clearly, and your problems are over. Well, the fantasizer says, oh, I get to fantasize with more intention. The intentional creator says, no, you get the vision that ignites your passion. And when passion is ignited, it is no longer work. It is vision-driven, passion-driven action. This is a place you'll want to be. Now, I'm going to give you some ideas for how to get there today. Part of it was our exercise last week of having goals and expectations, of setting goals, seeing clearly where we want to be in relationships, seeing clearly where we want to be in our finances, like for the next year. Remember the exercise we did the last couple weeks? Being clear about this. That allows us to have excitement about why we're doing what we're doing. Because when we come to this place called the now, we ask ourselves two questions. They're very simple. Why am I here? Why am I here? Now, this isn't a global question. Why am I here today? Why am I here in this moment? Do I know what I'm about to do and why I'm doing it? And what does this next action, passion-driven action, have to do with getting me to my dream? When we answer those two questions, I am here to finish today the practicums. These are the written practicums for coaching clients for the last part of finding joy in the journey and self-esteem. This is taking the transcription of the audio and taking it down to bite-sized pieces that our coaching clients receive. Why am I here? I am here so that our coaching clients can have this extra piece to make the experience richer and more meaningful so they can change their lives and find more joy and happiness. Because my mission is to heal torn bodies and torn minds. I can tell you why I was here today. I was here for that purpose. What does this have to do with getting me there? Because I'm going to bless lives with it. People can read this while they're listening to the audio. Follow along. All the quotable quotes are in here. This is meaty information for them. These are moments. And I got to tell you, I've been in passion all afternoon. Because while I've been reading through this, I've been reliving the mornings when this came. For almost a year and a half, from 4 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the morning, I wrote faithfully, faithfully, faithfully. I remember the morning gratitude came. I remember the morning about recognition and remuneration. I remember the morning when joy and sorrow came, when handling hard times came, when the three causes of low self-esteem came, and being real and genuine and authentic and letting go of the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear and learning to love yourself so that you can be fully available to love others. I have sat here and read stories I haven't thought about since I wrote those pieces and recorded them. I have had some spiritual moments this afternoon. Just tender, tender moments. I got blessed, too, for being in passion-driven action. Why am I here? What does this have to do with getting me there, to my dream? So those are the two questions. Once we look at this thing we're going to do, we ask three more questions. So just write these down. One, is this of value? Is this of value? The answer is, for me today, was absolutely. It's essential. I don't want to delegate this to anyone. Someone might miss a sentence or a feeling or an impression. I've added a couple things to it this afternoon for clarification. Two, has everything leading up to this been completed? In my case, has all the programming been done so that when I deliver this material to Krista and she makes it look pretty, is it ready to be dropped into the program? Absolutely. It is the next thing to be completed. The next thing. So everything's been completed up to this, and the third question is this the next task? Now, confessions. With the alcohol site being worked on, beautiful training we had up at the cabin with 8 new coaches, I've been putting this off, procrastinating. It was the next task. Every time I'm facing it, I'm going, I haven't got time for that today. I need a couple, 3 hours. I'm interrupted to really get through that. Today was kind of a little bit of a rest day from the trip. There hasn't been anything more restful than what I just finished. Now, I just share that with you personally. does it mean for you? If you made a dream of having a 50% increase in your income, that's what you envisioned. If it's $50,000 last year, you raise it to $75,000. If you then were very clear about what you could do with that extra $25,000, and you've dealt with the anxiety that it won't buy that Learjet you've been fantasizing about, but that's just a fantasy. This is a real $25,000. What could be done with a real $25,000 today if you had it in your bank account? And you think about that. Then you convert that to the people you're actually going to impact. And you're working your way back every month, every week, every day. Why am I here? I'm here to find one of those 52 people. What does finding one of those 52 people have to do with getting me there? 52 people. The revenue that's generated, the $75,000. What does it have to do with getting me there? Everything. This week, I'm going to find one person. Where am I going to find them? Is there value in the actions I'm going to take today? Has everything leading up to this action been completed? And is this the next task? And what happens if it's a task I'm uncomfortable doing? If any of you have ever worked a booth at a fair, and you've got any shyness at all, a booth will just fillet you wide open. We had so much fun putting coaches out in front and talking and opening up and connecting with people. And it's not my necessarily favorite thing to do, but engaging in it, it became so fun talking to people and where are they from and helping them get a coin for the event or a chili neck around their neck and getting a card in their bag and talking about Augmentino and, oh, man. But I wouldn't put it on my top 10 favorite things to do. But it was what was on the task list for that day. Friday morning is to go to the booth, open it up, get ready, and connect with people. It couldn't be avoided. That was the next task. And it's so much easier when we say to ourselves, what can I create? Just write these three down. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? We changed up the configuration on the booth after the second day. We changed up the pricing. We changed up the way we were talking to people. We kept staying in creation because we kept asking when we had a task before us and one that wasn't necessarily pleasant for anyone. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? We took something that could have been just frustrating as heck and just had a blast. I got to know more about these coaches that just left me in awe watching them as human beings. You'll have experiences like that. For example, you got a stack of leads sitting in front of you. Say that you're in sales, and today is cold calling day. Now, if we're all in a room, I'd have you raise your hands. Who on this phone just absolutely can't wait to get up to make cold calls? I mean, they live to make cold calls. I know there are people alive that actually feel that way. I'm not one of them. That is not my favorite task. I still remember I was on a call with an organization, and they were going to have a meeting in a couple Saturdays, and they asked me to come and speak. And cold calls are not only not my favorite thing, they actually kind of make me a little nauseous. I've really got to get into it. What can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? And choose in that moment to make something fun out of that experience. And I still remember, I shared this in the audio tapes, that I said on that call, I'm going to call some prospects live from the stage and demonstrate intrinsic validation. And I remember hanging up the phone and saying, what in the hell did you just do? Excuse me, that's what I said. Oh my goodness, David. And I remember first time we did it without proper equipment. Then I went and invested in the equipment. Now I got money invested in it. And it became a very fun thing to do, to call someone's prospect live from the stage and just step into their world and connect with them. It wasn't long until that anxiety and fear was gone. But I must tell you, I had it, both anxiety and fear. So the question is this cold calling of value? Has everything leading up to this been completed? Yeah. You can't put it off anymore. I've got no more excuses. 2 days ago, I said I would do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I promised myself, no matter what, I would, and it's 4 o'clock. I know I want to go sharpen pencils. I know I want to put the laundry from the washer in the dryer. I know I want to call my mother who's not feeling well. I want to do anything but this. But everything's been done, and this is the next task. If I am going to find that person, and build my business. Well, why am I here? What does this have to do with getting me there to my dream? Is this a value? Has everything leading up to this been completed, and is this the next task? This leads us beautifully into the concept called procrastination, because so many of us, when faced with the next task, especially when it's something we do not want to do, we will procrastinate. We will give ourselves every excuse in the book to avoid it. And just know that those who succeed don't procrastinate. They just don't. I still do. I'm working on it. I just love it when people are can-do people. You look at Krista and Megan at the office. Boom, 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 boom. They just do. They just get it all done. There's no task too hard, too difficult. If that's the next task, that's what they do. It gets done. Wow. Procrastination is an interesting thing. I want to share just a couple principles with you about procrastination. Procrastination is born of fear, Ogg tells us. It's born of fear. Now, what do you mean by fear? Well, fear that I don't have enough time. Fear that I'm not capable. Fear that I don't have the ability. All kinds of forms of fear. 100 forms of fear. But he also said, I've learned this secret mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. Core meaning blood or heart in French. The heart of hearts. If we were to find courageous people, and we could actually go inside their heart and take a look, this metaphorical heart where courage exists, we would discover that every one of them faced a task just like the one you're facing right now. And the courageous ones just took it on anyway. They acted in spite of their fear, and the flutters in their heart vanished. They conquered fear. And they learned that when they did, that lion of terror turned into an ant of equanimity, peace of mind. There is no way to shortcut this process. Time won't do it. Robbing a bank won't do it. You cannot shortcut the process of taking the action. It helps when passion is driving the action. So if you can clearly see where you're going, it can help you get past this fear. If in the moment you've said, what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And you can find a fun way to take on, like they did this last week, being at a booth in a rainstorm. If you can figure that out and have fun, you can overcome some of that fear. It becomes easier, but it does not get avoided. The only way we get to do this is to go right through it. You can't go around it, under it, over it. You got to go right through it. And you generally discover as soon as you're starting to go through it that what you thought was awful wasn't that way at all. I mean, how many of us have put off a task and put it off and put it off and put it off until we cannot put it off any longer? And it's finally screaming louder than the fear in our head, and we finally jump in and do the task, get it done, and we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? How many of us have been there? When we get to self-esteem, we'll learn about being genuine, about embracing our genius. Because when we finally jump in and shut the noise off in our head, our genius finally shows up. Oddly enough, we're surprised. Wow. That wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? And next time we do the same thing all over again. We procrastinate, and then we're surprised. We're surprised that it wasn't so hard. It wasn't so hard because we finally shut off the noise and our genius took over. We got to meet who we really are. How powerful we are. How capable we are. Oh, my. If you've been reading through the material or listening, you know there's a section on living in the now. And there's a discussion from As a Man Thinketh. If you've got the book, I would highly recommend that you go and read it. It's a short little book. It's a fun little book. In the back is one of my favorite quotes. I've quoted many times and on this call, and I won't do it tonight. I just want you to go find this. It's on page 62 and 63. It talks about, in all human affairs, there are efforts and there are results, and the strength of the effort is the measure of the results. Chance is not. Gifts, powers, material, intellectual, and spiritual possessions are the fruits of effort. They are thoughts completed, objects accomplished, visions realized. The vision that you glorify in your mind, that one we were working on last week, the ideal that you enthrone in your heart, this you will build your life by. This you will become. I want to go into power sessions. This is going to be an interesting experience for many of you, because you're going to discover this week how difficult it is to be present in the now. Now, you're going to be physically present, but not mentally and emotionally really present, fully engaged in a process. You're going to discover that. Do not beat yourself up in this process. This is a discovery to get a baseline from which we're building. I can tell you that highly successful people are fully present in their mind creating, fully present in the now creating. They're in one of those two places all the time. Most of us spend too much time over in that third place in fear and anxiety and overwhelm and fantasy and catastrophe. To help us in this process, I'm going to give you what is somewhat of an ideal. If you can hold yourself to this ideal for 7 days, you'll create a miracle. I can promise you'll create one. You'll know it if you actually do this. If you fall short, be okay. I'd love to say, you got to do it this way. I've only had 4 people now do it the first week that I gave it to them. 4 people out of the hundreds and hundreds of people I've coached. When I get done sharing it with you, go, that's simple. Why only 4? Then do it for 7 days and watch. Just watch the noise that shows up in our heads. Now I'm going to give you a version that's got a few extra pieces in it, as I promised last week. So just pull out a pencil and a paper or a pen and a paper and make some notes. It's highly critical that when we wake up in the morning, so imperative, that we become conscious in that moment. I talked to a lady in a wheelchair this weekend, a PhD, who's been sober now for 35 years, who after reading Og's material in scroll number 2, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. She says, when I wake up, the very first thing I do with my hands, take your fingers and your two thumbs, two index fingers and thumbs, and make a heart. It's the very first thing she does in the morning, and then she looks at it to remind herself to greet this day with love in her heart. She actually physically does that every morning. And she was weeping. She says, this is so private. I've never told anybody this. But she's been doing it for 35 years. When we wake in the morning, we want to become conscious of our surroundings, conscious of our mood. We are going to create the best day of our life, and it starts when we first open our eyes and make that conscious decision. Now, if you're prayerful, say a prayer. Seek guidance. Meditate otherwise. Read Scroll 5. Scroll 5. I'll greet this day. I'll live this day, as if it is my last. Now, it's not your last, as in you're going to die tomorrow. It's just the last time you get today. The last time you get it. What are you going to do with it? Og says, seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand. That's the determination. You read that scroll, and if you listen to Og narrate it, it's really kind of spooky because he talks about those who died. And why am I still alive? Do I have a purpose? Am I still yet to be realized? And these people that are better than I, he says. And now Og's no longer with us. And someday we won't either. What are we going to do with this time we have that's been allotted to us? Read Scroll 5 and come away from that determined to create the most you can with that day. And sometimes a nap is appropriate. This isn't like work, 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 work. This is about being on purpose. Now with that, take a look at the things you have on your calendar today. Take a look. And be meditative. Ponder them. Seek guidance, inspiration, mental rehearsal, exploration. You might be guided to put something on that list that's not on there. A friend in need, a family member who needs a little extra attention, something. You may be inspired. You want to identify 3 really important things, just 3. Now, you'll have other things on there that you'll do, but 3 really important ones. Those 3 important times are called power sessions. Now, so that no one misunderstands, a power session simply means that you show up. Really show up. Not just going through the motions, not just going through the tasks, not just doing your thing, but really showing up, coming intent to create something special. That's all a power session is. You don't need to do a carnival act. You don't need to bring in the Ringling Brothers Circus for this event. You just need to show up. 3 times this day. As soon as you've identified them, take the very first one you've got on the schedule and start mentally rehearsing it. What can I create during that event? How could I create it? How would this serve? If it's phone calls you're going to be making, because you're blocked out a period of time for phone calls, these power sessions should only be like an hour to an hour and a half in length. That could be exhausting, to be fully present for an hour and a half. Stepping into people's worlds, you start mentally rehearsing what you could say and how you could say it. You'll think of things nobody's ever said before. It's exactly what those people need to hear. If it's a meeting that you're going to go to, there's all kinds of examples in the material of people going to meetings that could be very negative, divisive, and they mentally rehearse and they show up in a different mood and the meeting doesn't turn out that way at all because they showed up differently. Then do your first power session if it's in the morning. Make a couple mental notes. What happened during that meeting, during those phone calls, that might not have happened otherwise had I have not been fully conscious? I might not have heard that door. I might have stomped on that person and needed to be right. I didn't. I might not have met that person. I might not even have gone in that store and met that person. I might not have. But I was fully present, really following my intuition, using my empathy. Then at noon, you want to read scroll number 9. I will act now. My procrastination, which is born of fear, that's what's holding me back. I will act now. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. Only action determines my value in the marketplace. To increase my value, I must increase my actions. Oh, these are inspiring words to drive us through the afternoon. Then we finish our two power sessions, the last two. One could be just going home and being present for dinner with your family and stepping into people's worlds, listening for doors, talking to your children differently or a spouse or a committed companion. That could be a power session and a powerful one at that. Now the three power sessions are done. You're going to read scroll number 7, I'll laugh at the world. You want to read it before you go to sleep, because not everything turns out the way it should, and you can have a good laugh at yourself and the circumstances. Oh my goodness. Can you believe it? A hurricane in Texas in June and July? Come on. Oh my goodness. I made a joke 2 months ago that we might get rained out. I did not mean it, God, please. Yes. And then we journal. Now, don't journal long if you haven't journaled. But if you're used to journaling, or if you haven't, write down just a couple of things that happened during each power session that might not have happened otherwise. Remember, you kind of examined that on the way after the power session, on your way back to your office or sitting at your desk or wherever it might be. What happened? You know, my 16-year-old actually responded to me. He hasn't responded to me for weeks. I gave him a hug the night before he went to bed. Wow. That's a miracle. Often for 16-year-olds and fathers or mothers. Just make a note. This is where you track your miracles. Then if you want to, get down on your knees and connect with your God. Return and report. That power knows what you've done, but there's something precious. This is the piece I want to give to you tonight that you won't find in the power section section. If you can, speak these words. And I'll just say them so you can write them down. I have done all that I can do today. Now, that's not all that can be done. This is all that I could do today. Would you soften hearts? Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? I tell you from the bottom of my soul, that power can do more work while you're asleep than you'll ever do while you're awake. If you showed up in the service of others, if you chose to use your mind constructively and got inspired ideas and impressions about those power sessions, you don't have to do 14 power sessions. You don't need to do 4, just 3. And you'll have the right to say, I've done all that I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? You hand off the baton even in a firestorm. Sleep like a baby, and the next morning you wake up. Just like that lady who made the heart, you just become conscious, prayerful, meditative, at what's on your plate for the day. What are the three most important things where I need to really show up? Identify them. Execute those power sessions. That means just show up in those moments. Having thought about it, what can I create? How can I create? How will this serve? You imagine walking into a meeting with an idea of what to create, what to do, and maybe it's different than anything you've ever done before, and you just have a blast, and so does everybody else. What a wonderful power session. Blessing the lives of those in a meeting. Blessing those of people that you call. Maybe you spend an hour talking to current customers or clients. It could be just that. Whatever it is, it's a power session. Make a mental note of what you did that you might not have done otherwise. Read Scroll 9 at noon. Finish your power sessions. Read Scroll 7. Write in your journal a sentence or two about each power session so you have it to refer to. And then come prepared next Tuesday night to share some of your power sessions. There is nothing more thrilling than to have all these pieces come together, focused on the service of others, using our mind constructively, creating in the here and now. Oh, the noise will still be there. We still got work to do on several other qualities and thought processes. But there's nothing more thrilling than being in passion-driven action. Knowing that a week from now, there will be things that were done that would not have been done had you have not been in a power session. You just wouldn't have done them. It wouldn't have happened. I watched this happen this week, and I'll turn this over to you all in just a moment. Kevin Hall came down with us to Texas. Flew down on Thursday, and he was going to leave on Saturday morning, get back for a family event. And Kevin just lives this way, in power sessions. And he says, Dave, I just felt impressed. I needed to stay till tomorrow. Don't know why. There's just somebody I'm supposed to meet. And later that afternoon, a man came up with his wife and son. His son was in recovery. He was in recovery. He had a heart transplant and lived long enough to see his son go through this process. And I can tell you, anybody who was watching it was having a hard time not crying, because there was a lot of tears being shed by a tender man who knew somebody needed him. And he said to me as they left, he turned, he said, Dave, can you imagine if I wasn't here this afternoon and wasn't here to serve them with this? Now there's a power session. There's a miracle. Did he sell 5,000 books because of it? No, he served a life. He sent a family in a different place. Yeah, with a great book for them to read that'll bless all of their lives, and especially the wife who's been so tender and gracious through this whole process and supportive. So many times we miss those opportunities because we're not present. Let us not miss any this week, not while we're in a power session. Let us test this. Let us just find what we need to accomplish, what we're going to want to do, to become intentional creators of our lives. Okay, we've got just a few minutes. I want to open up the lines. Just a second, I'm going to take this off of mute, so bear with me for a moment. Okay, we've got everybody. We didn't spend a lot of time sharing. I'd just like to use these last 4 or 5 minutes wisely. It's very important that we get these principles into your life so these power sessions can be magnificent this week. Anything you've been procrastinating, there's a power session. Would anyone like to share something that's been going on in their life this week in terms of these principles or a question before they take off and do the power sessions this week?
Dave, this is Ramona. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sweetheart. Hi.
Great. I just wanted to test and make sure we were off mute.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to say about our trip to San Antonio?
Just ditto, everything you shared. It was an amazing experience, growing, opportunity to stretch. It was marvelous. Came back exhausted, well spent.
It was great having you there with us, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Anyone that would like to share this evening before we wrap up this call? Anybody's heart pounding?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to send you on your way. Take on these power sessions this week. Had an interesting conversation with someone today. It was almost took my breath away. Discussion was the fact that success does require that we do hard things. The exciting part is that when we do them for a little while, they become joyful. I still remember Cindy Ragsdale, who was the very first person to keep this commitment and do this for a full week. And then she did it a second week. And she said, there were times when I screamed out loud. It was so painful to be present in the now. So you might have to scream this week. If you do, do so. Fight through this. Success is worth the journey. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we will look forward to next week. Please come with your journals to share. Be very excited to hear what's happened during your power sessions. Have a great week, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.